Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be looking at how computers are learning to trace neurons, those intricate branching structures. Neuroscientists get these 3D images of them, but tracing them out manually is insanely time-consuming. It's like imagine trying to untangle a giant ball of yarn blindfolded.
Oh, yeah.
That's where these automated tracing algorithms come in. And that's where our main source for this deep dive comes in, a 2023 research paper from Nature Methods. It's titled Big Neuron, a resource to benchmark and predict performance of algorithms for automated tracing of neurons in light microscopy data sets.
So this Big Neuron project sounds pretty ambitious.
It is. They weren't just testing out algorithms. They really wanted to create a platform where researchers could compare the accuracy of different algorithms head to head. Think of it as a standardized test for neuron tracing software.
Okay, so what kind of test are we talking about here? What did they use to train and test these algorithms? Well, they gathered tens of thousands of 3D neuron images from all sorts of species, fruit flies, mice, zebrafish, even humans. And they used different types of microscopes too, capturing images with varying levels of detail. Plus, they included images of various neuron types from different parts of the brain.
Wow, that's a lot of variety. Why was it so important to have such a diverse data set? Wouldn't it be easier to just focus on one type of neuron image?
That's a great question. The diversity is really crucial because it allows researchers to test how well these algorithms generalize. You see, an algorithm that works great on a high-resolution image of a mouse neuron might completely fail when it encounters a blurry image of a human neuron.
So it's about making sure these algorithms can handle the real world with all of its messiness and variation.
Exactly. And to really see how well these algorithms perform, they needed a benchmark, a gold standard.
Okay, how did they go about setting that gold standard?
That's where the Gold 166 dataset comes in. It's a subset of 166 neurons that were meticulously traced by hand by human experts. It was a painstaking process, but it provided the ground truth against which all the automatic algorithms were measured.
Wow, I can only imagine the patience that must have taken. So how did the automated algorithms stack up against this gold standard?
Well, the results are pretty interesting. The accuracy varied quite a bit, and no single algorithm was perfect. Some algorithms were better at tracing the overall length of a neuron, while others excelled at capturing the finer details of its branches.
So different algorithms have different strengths and weaknesses. Is there a way to combine these strengths to get the best of all worlds?
That's exactly what the researchers explored with what they call a consensus tree algorithm. It's a clever approach that essentially combines the results from multiple tracing algorithms.
Oh, so instead of just picking one winner, they're finding a way to leverage the strengths of each algorithm.
Exactly. Imagine each algorithm as a voter, casting a ballot for where they think the neuron branches are located. The consensus tree algorithm acts like an election official, tallying the votes and identifying the most likely path of the neuron.
It's like a democracy for neurons. So did this election strategy actually improve accuracy?
It did. The consensus tree algorithm consistently outperformed any individual algorithm, especially in dealing with noisy or low-quality images. It's like having a team of experts working together, each contributing their unique perspective to solve a complex problem.
That's amazing. So this could be a game changer for neuroscientists working with messy real-world data.
Absolutely. It could help researchers map the brain's connections more accurately, which could lead to a deeper understanding of how our brains function, both in health and disease.
Now, this is where things get really interesting. The researchers didn't stop at just creating this consensus algorithm. They also found a way to predict which individual algorithm would work best for a given data set without even needing that gold standard for comparison.
Right, they used a machine learning technique. The model was trained on the big neuron data, learning the relationships between image features and algorithm performance. So if you give it a new neuron image, it can analyze its quality, the type of neuron, and other factors to predict which algorithm is most likely to produce the most accurate trace.
That's incredible. It's like they created a matchmaking service for neuron images and tracing algorithms. You feed it an image and it tells you which algorithm is the perfect fit.
It is quite remarkable. And to really test the model, they used it on a data set of images from a technique called FMOST.
FMOST-IS, can you remind us what that is again?
FMOST stands for Fluorescence Micro-Optical Sectioning Tomography. It's a relatively new imaging technique that allows researchers to capture incredibly detailed 3D images of entire brains.
Entire brains, wow, that must create a massive amount of data.
You're absolutely right. FMOST datasets are huge and complex, which is why accurate and efficient tracing algorithms are so essential for analyzing them. And the predictive model from the Big Neuron project performed exceptionally well when tested on this FMOS data. It accurately identified the algorithms that produced the most accurate traces, even though the researchers didn't have a gold standard to compare against.
That's amazing. So the Big Neuron Project isn't just a theoretical exercise. It's providing practical tools that are already being used to analyze cutting-edge brain imaging data.
Exactly. And the insights gleaned from this FMS data, combined with the knowledge from Big Neuron, are helping to paint an increasingly detailed picture of the brain's intricate wiring diagram.
This is also fascinating. I feel like we're on the verge of a revolution in how we study the brain. But before we get too carried away with the possibilities, I want to take a moment to recap what we've learned so far. We've talked about the Big Neuron Project and its incredibly diverse data set. We've learned about the consensus tree algorithm, which combines the strengths of different tracing algorithms, and about a predictive model that can match the right algorithm to a given data set. We've also touched on FMIST, a powerful imaging technique that's generating massive amounts of data, and how the tools from Big Neuron are being used to analyze this data. But we're not done yet. There's still so much more to explore. Join us for part two of this deep dive as we delve further into the implications of these advancements in neuron tracing and what they mean for the future of neuroscience. Welcome back to the deep dive. We're in the midst of exploring how computers are learning to trace neurons, and last time we left off talking about FMS and the massive amounts of data it generates. I'm curious to understand more about what we can actually learn from all this data. I mean, tracing neurons is one thing, but what insights can we gain from these intricate maps?
That's a great question. You see, the shape of a neuron, what we call its morphology, can actually tell us a lot about its function. It's like looking at the architecture of a building and being able to infer what it's used for.
Okay, I like that analogy. So by analyzing the morphology of neurons, we can start to understand how different parts of the brain are wired and how they communicate with each other.
Exactly. And the Big Neuron Project went beyond just tracing the neurons. They also analyzed the morphology of those 166 neurons in the GOLD-166 dataset, looking for patterns and trends.
Okay, what kind of patterns did they find?
Well, one fascinating finding was the sheer diversity of neuronal morphology. Even within a single species, there was a huge range of shapes and sizes. For example, they found that human neurons tend to be larger and more complex than mouse neurons. But they also observed that certain types of neurons, like retinal ganglion cells, shared similar features across different species.
So even though our brains are vastly different from a mouse's brain, there are some underlying similarities in how our neurons are structured?
Right. And understanding these similarities could help researchers develop more generalized tracing algorithms that can be applied across different species. But what's even more intriguing are the differences they observed.
Like what? What kind of differences stood out?
Well, one key difference was in the density of branch points. These are the junctions where a neuron's branches split off. Some neurons, like those found in fruit flies and zebrafish, had a much higher density of branch points compared to mammalian neurons.
More branch points means more connections, right?
Exactly. And those connections are crucial for transmitting information within the brain. So the differences in branch point density could reflect differences in how information is processed and integrated in different parts of the brain and across different species. It's like comparing the wiring diagram of a simple circuit to a complex computer network.
Speaking of wiring diagrams, there was one term in the paper that really caught my eye, centripetal bias. What in the world does that mean?
Yes. Centripetal bias describes how a neuron's branches are oriented relative to its cell body, the central hub of the neuron. Imagine the cell body as the sun and the neuron's branches as planets orbiting around it.
Okay, I'm visualizing it.
If a neuron has a high centripetal bias, its branches tend to point towards the cell body, like the planets are all clustered close to the sun.
Interesting. But what does this bias tell us about how the neuron functions?
Well, it's thought to influence how signals are transmitted and integrated within the neuron. A high centripetal bias might allow for faster signal processing, since the branches are all converging towards the cell body.
So it's not just about the number of connections a neuron has, but also their spatial arrangement. It's like the layout of a city's transportation system can affect how efficiently people can move around.
That's a great analogy. And the Big Neuron researchers found that different species and neuron types exhibit different centripetal biases, suggesting there's a lot of variation in how neurons are wired and how they communicate.
This is all so fascinating. But I have to admit, it's a lot to take in. Can we step back for a moment and talk about the bigger picture? How does all this information from the Big Neuron Project actually move the field of neuroscience forward?
It's a good question. The Big Neuron Project is groundbreaking on multiple levels. First, it provides this massive standardized data set that researchers can use to develop and test new tracing algorithms. Before Big Neuron, there wasn't a common benchmark. So it's difficult to compare the performance of different algorithms.
So it's like having a universal set of weights and measures for neuron tracing. Everyone's now speaking the same language, which makes collaboration and progress much easier.
Precisely. Second, BigNeuron has spurred the development of innovative tracing approaches like the consensus tree algorithm we discussed. This algorithm is already being used by other researchers to improve the accuracy of their tracings.
So the BigNeuron project is raising the bar for the entire field, pushing everyone to come up with smarter and more efficient solutions. What's the third way?
The third way is that BigNeuron is helping us to understand the relationships between neuron morphology, image quality, and algorithm performance. This knowledge is essential for developing even better tracing algorithms in the future, and for choosing the right algorithm for a given data set.
It's not just about creating algorithms, it's about understanding the nuances of the data and how they affect the tracing process.
Okay, I'm starting to see the impact of this project. Can we dive into a specific example of how these algorithms are being used in real-world research? I think that would help solidify everything we've been talking about.
Absolutely. To see the impact, let's look at some research using a technique called FMS, which we touched on earlier.
You said FMS can capture incredibly detailed 3D images of entire brains. Why is that such a big deal, and what makes these images so challenging to work with?
Well, FMS allows us to map the brain's connections at an unprecedented scale. But with that increased resolution comes a massive increase in data. We're talking about data sets that are so large and complex that manually tracing the neurons would be virtually impossible. So automated tracing is essential for unlocking the secrets hidden within this FMOST data.
Absolutely. And that's where the BigNeuron project comes in. Remember that predictive model we discussed? The one that can predict which tracing algorithm will work best for a given data set.
Yes, the matchmaker.
Well, researchers have used that very model to guide their analysis of FMOST images. They feed the FMOST data into the model, and it accurately identifies the algorithms that are most likely to produce accurate traces.
Wow, so the BigNeuron project isn't just a theoretical exercise. It's providing practical tools that are being used to analyze cutting-edge brain imaging data right now.
Exactly. And the insights gained from FMOST, combined with the knowledge from BigNeuron, are painting an increasingly detailed picture of the brain's wiring diagram.
This is all so exciting, but I'm also starting to wonder, where do we go from here? What's the next frontier in neuron tracing and brain mapping?
Well, one area of active research is focused on making those tracing algorithms even better, both in terms of accuracy and speed. We're starting to see deep learning techniques being used to create algorithms that can learn incredibly complex patterns in neuron images, leading to even more precise traces.
Deep learning always pushing the boundaries. What else is on the horizon?
Another exciting area is developing algorithms that can not only trace neurons, but also identify different types of neurons based on their morphology and other features.
So not just mapping the roads, but also labeling the different types of buildings along those roads.
That's a great way to put it. And this would be a major step towards creating a comprehensive cell atlas of the brain.
A cell atlas? What exactly would that entail?
Imagine a map of the brain that shows the location of every neuron, its type, its function, its connections, and even its molecular makeup. That's the ultimate goal of a brain cell atlas.
Wow, that would be an incredible resource. It's like having the Google Maps of the brain, but with layers upon layers of information. That must be an incredibly complex and ambitious undertaking.
It is a grand challenge. But with the rapid progress in imaging tracing and data analysis, we're moving closer to that goal every day.
I'm starting to feel a bit overwhelmed by the sheer scale of it all, but in a good way. Before we get too carried away with these future possibilities, let's take a step back and review the key takeaways from this part of our deep dive. We explored the fascinating world of neuron morphology, learned about the concept of centripetal bias, and saw how the BigNeuron project is having a real impact on neuroscience research, especially when it comes to analyzing data from FMOBOS. We also talked about the next frontier of brain mapping, including deep learning algorithms and the quest for a comprehensive brain cell atlas. But there's one more crucial aspect of the BigNeuron project that we haven't touched on yet, the collaborative spirit that drove its success.
Ah, yes, the human element of scientific discovery. Yeah. The BigNeuron project is a great example of what can be accomplished through collaboration.
Okay, tell us more about this collaborative spirit. What made the BigNeuron project so unique in this regard?
The BigNeuron project brought together researchers from all over the world, spanning different institutions, disciplines, and areas of expertise. They shared their data, their algorithms, their code, and their insights, all with the goal of advancing the field as a whole.
So it's like a giant open source project for neuroscience. Everyone contributed their piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. And this collaborative approach is becoming increasingly important in neuroscience as we deal with ever larger and more complex data sets.
It makes sense. No single lab or research group can tackle these challenges alone. It takes a global effort.
Precisely. And the Big Neuron Project is a shining example of what can be achieved when scientists from around the world work together towards a common goal.
This collaborative spirit is really inspiring, but I'm curious about the practicalities of it all. How did they manage this global collaboration? What did it actually look like?
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been exploring the incredible world of neuron tracing, and last time we were discussing the collaborative nature of the Big Neuron Project. You're telling us about how they organized this global effort. What were some of the strategies they used to bring researchers together?
Well, they used a variety of approaches to foster collaboration. They organized hackathons and workshops where developers and neuroscientists could work side by side on specific challenges. They also created an online platform where researchers could share their data algorithms and results.
Hackathons for neuron tracing.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty intense. Were they effective?
They were incredibly productive. These events brought together a diverse range of expertise and perspectives, leading to some truly innovative solutions that might not have emerged otherwise. The hackathons also fostered a sense of community and shared purpose among the researchers. So it wasn't just about the technical work, it was also about building relationships and strengthening the network of scientists working in this field.
Exactly. And the online platform they created helped to extend that collaborative spirit beyond the hackathons. It served as a central hub where researchers could continue to share their findings, get feedback, and build on each other's work.
It sounds like the Big Neuron Project really set a new standard for collaborative science. It's amazing to see what can be accomplished when researchers from around the world pool their knowledge and resources. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, from the technical details of tracing algorithms to the grand vision of a brain cell atlas. But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, the impact of this technology on the future of brain research.
The potential is truly vast. Automated tracing is revolutionizing our ability to study the brain, and its impact will be felt across many areas of neuroscience.
Let's start with the most obvious one, brain mapping. How is automated tracing changing our approach to mapping the brain's intricate connections?
Well, it's accelerating the process dramatically. What used to take years of painstaking manual labor can now be accomplished in a fraction of the time. This allows us to tackle much larger and more complex data sets, opening up new avenues of research that were simply unimaginable before.
So we're talking about mapping the connections of entire brains at the level of individual neurons.
Yes. Think about mapping the entire neural network of a mouse brain or even a human brain. That's becoming a reality thanks to these advancements in automated tracing.
That's mind-boggling. It's like going from exploring a single neighborhood to mapping an entire continent. But what can we actually learn from these incredibly detailed brain maps?
We can glean insights into the fundamental circuits that underlie our thoughts, emotions, behaviors, and even consciousness itself. We can begin to understand how different brain regions communicate with each other and how those interactions give rise to our complex mental experiences.
It's like finally having the wiring diagram for the most sophisticated machine in the universe, the human brain.
Exactly. And beyond basic science, automated tracing has profound implications for understanding and treating brain disorders.
That's something I've been eager to discuss. How can this technology help us in the fight against diseases like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's?
Well, many brain disorders are characterized by changes in the connections between neurons. For example, Alzheimer's disease involves the loss of synapses, which are those crucial junctions where neurons communicate.
So if we can map these connections in detail, we can see exactly where the damage is happening.
Precisely. By mapping these connections, we can identify the specific circuits that are affected by a disease and track how those circuits change over time. This could lead to the development of more targeted treatments that aim to protect or even restore the damaged connections.
It's like having a repair manual for the brain, showing us exactly where the problems are and how to fix them.
That's a great way to think about it. And automated tracing could also lead to better diagnostic tools. Imagine being able to detect the early signs of a brain disorder by looking for subtle changes in brain connectivity.
That would be incredible. Early detection is so crucial for many brain disorders, as it allows for earlier intervention, which can significantly improve outcomes for patients.
Absolutely. The earlier we can detect and intervene, the better the chances of slowing down the progression of the disease and preserving brain function.
Well, this has been an absolutely fascinating journey. We've covered so much ground, from the technical intricacies of neuron tracing algorithms to the grand implications for understanding the brain treating diseases and even unlocking the secrets of consciousness. I have to say, I'm both amazed and humbled by the sheer complexity and wonder of the brain, and I'm incredibly excited to see where this field goes next.
It's truly an exciting time to be working in neuroscience. With these powerful new tools at our disposal, I believe we're on the cusp of making some truly groundbreaking discoveries.
And on that note of optimism and boundless potential, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive into the world of neuron tracing. A huge thank you to you for sharing your expertise and insights with us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
The pleasure was all mine. I always enjoy the opportunity to talk about the brain and the amazing research that's happening in this field.
And to our listeners, if you're eager to continue exploring the world of neuroscience, be sure to subscribe to The Deep Dive for more fascinating topics and in-depth discussions. Until next time, keep those brains buzzing.